Merry Christmas. Let's try better. Let's do it. Merry Christmas. So glad you're here. So my name is Hunter. I'm the pastor here. I'm glad you're here with us. You know, I was in sixth grade, and I was on a trip. We're on a class trip where we're going to an island off the coast of Georgia, and we're going to be collecting shells and learning all about nature and everything. And there was a girl, and her name was Nicole. And I was smitten. We'd spent the whole trip flirting and talking and getting to know each other. And there was a moment, we're riding back on the bus, and I'm nervous. My heart is racing. My palms are sweating. And I'm like, I'm going to ask her to be my girlfriend. And we're just going to live happily ever after. And it's going to be great. And my little sixth grade heart was just pumping, and I was so excited. And a friend of mine had an Etch-A-Sketch. How many of you remember the Etch-A-Sketch? And I got this Etch-A-Sketch, and I was like, I'm going to have this big romantic gesture. I'm going to ask her to be my girlfriend using the Etch-A-Sketch. And I started drawing it out, and I was like, will you? And I was like, this is taking some time. And so finally, I was like, go out with me. I don't know where a sixth grader is going to take anyone out, but that's what I wrote. So will you go out with me? And I'm getting ready, and she's just sitting right over here. I can remember it like it was yesterday. And I was getting ready to give it to her, and my friend Billy, he was like, you can do this. Give it to her. It's going to be great. And I chickened out. I shook the Etch-A-Sketch and erased my note that I had worked so diligently on, and I missed my moment. Within the week, she was dating Greg Walker, that punk. And I forever, you know, in my middle school years, regretted that moment. We all have moments we miss. And sometimes they're a crush that we have that we're trying to engage with. Other times, it's something much bigger than that. I was doing some consulting with a company, and I was doing trainings with their staff. We were learning about personalities and how people are wired and how you use that. And as I was doing the teachings and stuff, it was in a secular environment, so I didn't talk about the fact that I was a pastor. I just talked about the content. And then afterwards, the CEO started talking, and he had some questions. He said, I hear you're a pastor. And so I've learned over the years, if someone says, hey, you're a Christian, or hey, you pray right, or hey, you're a pastor, God's doing something in that moment, so you step into the moment. So that's what I did with him. I said, well, what's your questions? And we started talking, and I said, you have a lot of these questions, and they're very significant. I'd love to get together with you next time you're in town. We can do lunch, and I'll process these things with you. And he's like, absolutely, that would be great. And so we set the next time that I would come for the team meeting, and I thought about sending the email. I was like, you know, I'll just connect with him at the next time we get together. And I waited, and once he was back in town, he's like, actually, I'm all booked up. I can't get together this time. Maybe the next time I'm in town. And I hesitated. I was like, I don't know. My schedule's a little busy. And I just kept thinking about it. It's one of those things, like, you think about it the worst moment. Like, you're in the shower, and you can't schedule it while you're in the shower. I try using my Apple Watch, but it doesn't usually work. Schedules with the wrong person. But I missed my moment with this guy, and then soon enough, I wasn't doing consulting with that company anymore. I moved on to another one. And I missed the moment to engage with something that could be eternal in this guy's life. If you're someone who is coming to church, if you're someone who's here in the room, and you're looking for moments to share your faith, they're going to be there. They're going to be readily available. But you have to look for them. You find what you're looking for. And God's trying to do something incredible in this earth. And whatever God does in you, he's trying to do through you. And these moments that you're going to find, they may look absolutely normal. It may look like just all the other Uber rides that you've taken this last week. It may look like a new person who comes into your office. It may look like the person who's giving you your favorite cup of coffee at your favorite coffee shop. And all of this looks normal, but it's not normal. It's actually a divine appointment. It's something where God's given you a setup, and he's trying to do something where he's trying to bring heaven into earth. He's trying to bring heaven into that person's life. And if you're not paying attention, you will miss your moment. When God prompts you, we pray, and then we step into that moment. We step into it boldly, because you never know how God might use one act of boldness to change someone's life. You never know how God might use one act of boldness to change someone's life. So when you're prompted, we're going to respond boldly. We're not going to hesitate, because when you hesitate and you do nothing, nothing changes. Nothing gets better. So today the topic is, don't miss your moment. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for all the moments that you lay before us. Lord, I pray that we would seize our moments. I pray we would step into the things that you're doing. I pray you would use us to bring eternity into the here and now. Lord, let us not just be people who hear what you have to say, but Lord, let us be the kinds of people who do what you say, Lord. Let us be the kinds of people that bring heaven to earth. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, so we're in a series right now. It's called Holy Moments. We're looking at four specific moments through the story of Christ that we read about in Luke chapter 2. We've talked about Joseph and when it's hard to obey. We talked about Mary, when it's hard to surrender. You can, if you miss those, check it out on our website. We've got all those messages logged, and you can kind of get caught up. Today we're going to be talking about right after Mary gave birth to Jesus, she's given birth to a son, and he's lying in a manger. We start reading in Luke chapter 2, verse 8, it says this: that night there were shepherds. Everybody say, I love shepherds. I love shepherds. I don't even know any shepherds. But I love shepherds. And so here it goes. Staying in the fields nearby, guarding their flocks of sheep, suddenly an angel of the Lord appeared among them, and the radiance of the Lord's glory shone around them. They were terrified, but the angel reassured them, don't be afraid. And I love this next line. I bring you good news that will bring great joy to who? All people. He's getting rid of the boundaries of who's in and who's out, and you have to be born in this family, and you have to have this kind of religion, you have to do it this way or that way. He's saying we're getting rid of all those lines, and it's about just getting to Jesus, that's the difference. It's good news that is great joy for all people. The Savior, yes, the Messiah, the Lord, has been born today in Bethlehem, the city of David. The angel makes this prophetic declaration. I bring you good news that'll bring great joy to all people. A Savior has been born today in Bethlehem. It's a prophetic moment that the world has been waiting for since the beginning of time. They've been waiting for God to show up. And 400 years before this moment was the last moment God had spoken. It was in the book of Malachi when he says, I will turn the hearts of the fathers to the hearts of the children, and the hearts of the children to the hearts of the fathers. And then it stopped. 400 years of silence. Nothing's been said from heaven. Now all of a sudden angels are appearing and speaking to people. And the message is that God's bringing good news that'll bring great joy to all people. Everybody say all people.
All people.
Are you in? Are you out? You're all people. You count. You matter. That's who Christ came for. It's for all people, not just for some people. Interesting, the angel did not make this announcement to an influencer. He didn't make this announcement to kings. He didn't make this announcement to priests or religious leaders or motivational speakers or to Fox News or to ABC or to NBC. He didn't make this announcement to anyone with any kind of credibility. He made this announcement to shepherds in the fields. So you have to ask, why shepherds? Because God doesn't do anything accidentally or incidentally. It's always on purpose. Your life is here on purpose. You being here today is on purpose. God's doing something great so he can do something in you, so he can do something through you. So why shepherds? Some scholars believe that these shepherds weren't ordinary shepherds, but they were actually priestly shepherds. And they were raising the sheep that would be taken to slaughter for the Passover, which has all kinds of symbolism. It's beautiful and it's kind of cool. But here's what we do know about shepherds. Shepherds were kind of low class. There was four significant problems with shepherds. And it all revolves around this one idea that they were untrustworthy. No one trusted shepherds. They were not even allowed to testify in court. Like, that was how the group was marked. Like, if you saw a robbery and you were a shepherd, no one believed you. It was not, you couldn't give that testimony in court and anything happened with it. They rarely could even sell property because people assumed if you're a shepherd and you're selling property that you stole it from somebody. So they were untrustworthy. They were ceremonially unclean. They weren't allowed to even go to church. They couldn't go to the temple. They couldn't worship God. They were outcasts. They were pariahs. They were social outcasts. They were the bottom rung of the social structures. You had tax collectors that were stealing money and lining their pockets with the money from the poorest of the poor. You had people who were dung sweepers. Did you know that was a job? We have street sweepers. In Bible times, they had dung sweepers. That was their job. They would take a broom and they're sweeping dung off the streets. The other people in the same category as shepherds were prostitutes. These are the people that in that culture, in that day of time, if a mom's walking with her kids and they see someone who's a shepherd, they walk to the other side of the street. They were a pariah. They were a social outcast. They were someone that no one wanted anything to do with. But God sent his heavenly host to them. And he chose the unpolished, the unremarkable, the uneducated. He chose the shepherds to declare the greatest news in the history of the world. A Savior is born. Why would he put something so powerful in the hands of so few that knew so little, that had so little credibility? Why would he do that? The shepherds said, let's go to Bethlehem. That was their response. They heard it. It awakened something inside of them. And they did it. It says this in verse 16. They hurried. Everybody says they hurried. They hurried to the village. They found Mary and Joseph, and there was a baby lying in the manger. They had no hesitation. They were not missing this moment. There was a spiritual urgency that we have to go, that we have to do something. We can't just sit on this. This message is too great. The cost is too great to not share it. We have to do something with it. Urgency is one of the greatest things the church can ever have. For us to be able to see that there's moments that need to be seized, that time is too short, that lives are too fragile, that we can't miss our moments to share the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ, because you never know what's going to happen next. Urgency is one of the greatest things, and this weekend is important. Next weekend is a really big deal. Did you know the Sunday right before Christmas is the largest attended Sunday of the year in any church? It's bigger than Easter. This is a moment that we have to seize. And so if you're thinking about inviting somebody, invite them. Invite them. People are already looking for a church. They're already trying to figure out what they're going to do Christmas Eve. Invite them. Next Sunday, 11 a.m., candlelight service. It's easy. Let me say it like this. Which Sunday is a good Sunday to invite someone to church?
Every Sunday.
We say that around here because every single Sunday we present the message of the gospel. So if you've got a friend that's far from God but near to you, you can guarantee by the end of the service, we're going to give people an opportunity to follow Christ. Every Sunday is a good Sunday. And so you don't have to know all about the Bible. You don't have to have the big answers of what was the beginning of the world or what's the end of the world. You don't have to be able to explain anything in between. All you have to say is, you know what? I went to this church and I think God's doing something there. You should come. Maybe He could do something in your life too. He's doing something in me. Maybe He could be doing something in you. After seeing the baby, verse 17, the shepherds told everyone what had happened, and the angel had said to them about this child. They told everyone. They didn't stop. They didn't say, well, I'm going to start, you know, with the people I already know. They didn't say, I'm going to tell people who already listen to me. I'm going to tell my buddies, you know, they shepherd over there and we shepherd over here. I'm going to tell them because they'll listen to me. They told everyone. It's like something inside of them was unlocked and they didn't care what people thought about them anymore. They were going to open their mouth. Don't underestimate the courage that comes up and what happens when you're ready to share boldly. They had every reason to hesitate. They were nobodies. They were despised. They could have said, no one will believe me. If you feel like hesitating, you're not alone. This is a common response to something big. That's what most people do. We're unsure. We say things like, I don't know enough. I don't want to be a weird Christian. I don't want to be one of those people. How many of you don't want to be one of those people? Raise your hand. Seriously, across the room. I don't want to be a weird Christian. I don't want to be weird. I don't want to be one of those people. You notice if you look around, not everybody raised their hand. We got some people that want to be these weird, annoying Christians out there. Now you wish you raised your hands, right? When you meet Jesus, when you really meet Him, you're so changed and you're so transformed that you can't keep it to yourself, that you have to do something with what's done in you, because what God does in you, He wants to do through you. All who heard the shepherds, this is the beautiful part, verse 18. All, not some, all who heard the shepherd's story were astonished. What were they saying? What were they declaring? It was this bold and urgent message that they're telling everyone. Here's what they're saying. The virgin gave birth to a son, and they called him Jesus. He came to save His people from their sins. God reached down in this moment so that we could be lifted up. God took our sins so that we could have His righteousness. God took on poverty so that we could have His spiritual riches. God didn't announce it to the royalty. He didn't announce it to the palace. He didn't announce it to the influencers. He announced it to the shepherds, the outcasts, the pariahs, so that the world would know that He really came for anyone. I think sometimes we feel like we're no one. I think sometimes we feel like we couldn't do anything significant or anything that mattered. But the gospel came not through the educated or the people who had it all together. He didn't come to the religious and through the religious. He came from the people, the lowly shepherds, to prove to us that the gospel is for everyone. Because whatever God does in you, He does through you. And He was doing something in the shepherds on the hillside that day that proclaimed to the rest of the world, you can belong. You don't have to be distant from God. There doesn't have to be a separation from you and the divine. You can engage with God because He wants to personally know you. He came so that He would know you. You see, He didn't announce it to the high ups. He announced it to the low downs. And see, what you understand when you really understand that is there's no one who is too far from God's reach. There is no one too low for God's love. There's no sin that is too great for God's grace. There is no life that is too small for God's purpose. God chose lowly shepherds so that all of us would know anyone Anyone can live a life on purpose. Anyone can tell people about faith. God chose these lowly shepherds on a remote hillside on the outside of a Judean village. Why? Because God often chooses the unlikely to do the extraordinary. Sometimes we feel like we're useless. Sometimes we feel like no one will hear us. Sometimes we feel like even if I say it, they won't listen. There's people in your life that you thought God would want to reach them, but they seem so far. Who am I? They won't listen to me. I'm just fill in the blank. And we feel like that God can never possibly do anything great through us, but God often chooses the unlikely to do the extraordinary. If you want to have an extraordinary life, it doesn't matter where you came from. It doesn't matter what you've done. It doesn't matter what your history was. That doesn't matter. Those things are off the table in the eyes of God because He looks at you and He says, you're valuable. You're mine. I created you and I'm trying to do something in you. I'm trying to awaken something so great that you can't contain it. I'm trying to do something in you because there's so much that needs to go through you. Your life matters. He uses the unlikely to do the extraordinary. Your life is meant to do something extraordinary, something that is groundbreaking, something that is shaking, something that awakens what God is doing in other people so that God can do something great through other people. Your life matters. This includes you. I promise you that. And this next week, if you're looking for the moments, if you're looking for what God is doing, if you're looking for moments to bring heaven into earth, to make the world a better place, you'll see them. You'll be prompted. You'll have this moment where you want to hesitate, but I'm telling you, you are made for those moments. Step into them. Rise to the occasion of your life. It's why you are here. You weren't just here to do something that matters just in fixed time. You will do things that matter here and now, but you were made to do things that stretch for all of eternity and change lives forever. You are here to bring the hope of God into the world, to show people that God loves you. No matter who you are or where you come from or what you did, there is no sin that is too great. There is no life that is too low. It doesn't matter how broken you felt. He uses the broken. I know because I see how He uses me. My life is not perfect. I come from all kinds of brokenness. I've done all kinds of things. And if God can use me, He can use you. If He can do something in me, He can do something in you. You don't have to have it all together. We come as we are before God. You have no idea how God might use one act of boldness to change the world around you. Don't hesitate. Because when you hesitate, you do nothing and nothing happens. But when you step out and you're bold, God can do something that echoes for all of eternity. I remember I was getting my hair cut at my friend Nick's barbershop. He's a great guy. I was just talking to him yesterday. He lives in St. Louis, where we moved from. And me and him, we'd always trade books. He was always trying to get better in his life. He was always trying to better himself and move forward. And so I started sharing books with him. And he's like, we should read this book with other people who are like us, who are trying to grow. I said, yeah, let's do it. It wasn't a Christian book. It was just a good self-help book that's for leaders. And so I said, yeah, can we host it here? He said, yes, but I want you to lead it. And I said, I'll lead it. I said, don't worry, I won't be one of those weird, annoying Christians. I said, I'll just let the book speak to me and work on me, and I'll just share what I'm getting out of it, just like everybody else. Here's what I know. If you're someone who follows Christ, you don't have to wear it like a merit badge. You don't have to have this agenda where you try and make sure everyone like hears it right from the beginning, where you're working into every conversation, and you don't have to be weird. You don't have to be annoying. But you do have to be you. And so when you love Christ, you don't shy away from talking about it, but you don't work it with an agenda. Does that make sense? And so I'm in the book club, and we're going through it. Now this was, no one else there was Christians. The first conversation that got stirred up among the participants of the book club, it started from a lady with blue hair. She was married, and she poses this question as we're getting started. She goes, is monogamy natural? That was the first conversation of book club. That was where we started from. Is monogamy natural? She had questions. I was like, is your marriage okay? Are you guys doing good? And so we started from that moment. We talked about the book and we processed it. eventually it got to the place where we were all comfortable enough, and I said, hey, I don't know about for you, but I know about for me, if I'm going to, like, change, if my life's going to transform, I need help. Like, I need you to help me along the way. We need to talk about this. We need to hold each other accountable. But I need God, because what we just talked about, it's a really big deal. And I can't do this. Do you mind if I pray? Is that okay? And they said, yeah, you can pray. So I prayed. And we made that a habit. Fast forward a few weeks, and there's this couple, Nick and Sandra. And they started attending. They were from Argentina, and they didn't have any friends. He was pretty good with English and Spanish. She struggled with English, but she thought, maybe if I read a book in English, then I'll learn English a little bit better. So she's coming, and they're a great couple, and we're talking and having a good time. And I never talked about the church. I never asked people to come. I just knew it was kind of a too delicate situation. I just waited. Sometimes you just have to fill out those moments, and I'm waiting. And they come up to me and said, hey, can we come to your church? I said, absolutely. Here's the address. Here's the website. We'd love to see you. Sure enough, they came the next week. They started coming regularly. I remember having a conversation with Nick, and he said, so I grew up Jewish. Sandra grew up Catholic. I'm a good moral person. I like Jesus. I like him a lot. He said, am I a Christian? I said, well, I don't know. Let's talk about that for a second. I said, when you follow Jesus, what you crave changes. What you love changes. If you follow Jesus, you like to read the Bible. If you follow Jesus, you like to pray. If you follow Jesus, you find yourself loving people that used to really bother you. Because Jesus says that we have to love our enemies. That's pretty extreme. I think all of us could say we would struggle with loving our enemies. I said, but that's what Jesus calls us to. And if you find yourself moving in that direction and you find yourself starting to pray more, read your Bible, then it's a good indication. It's a good indication that God's doing something great in you. And he says, well, I don't do that yet. I was like, well, I'm praying that one day you will follow Jesus, because it's the greatest decision I ever made, and I think it'll change your life. A few weeks later, we're in a service just like this, and I give an opportunity just like we'll do in a few minutes. And I said, anyone want to follow Jesus? And my friend Nick and Sandra raised their hand, and their life has never been the same. I regularly talk to Nick, and he spends hours every day reading the Bible and praying. He spends his time telling people about God. He sends me, you ever have those friends that just, they communicate through the love language of Instagram stories and reels? I get every conspiracy theory from Nick and every video about Jesus and all of those things. No one knew about the birth of Jesus except Joseph, Mary, and a few shepherds who decided to be bold. We're here not because Mary and Joseph told people. Catch that. We are here because shepherds who had no credibility, they told people that the Savior is here. What a powerful message. What if lowly people like you and I, who don't have influence, who don't have a big platform, what if we took that message that the Savior is here, and we told the people this in our lives, the Savior is here. What if we looked at our lives and we said, the Savior is here? You look at depression and you say, the Savior is here. You look at your finances and you say, the Savior is here. You look at your anger and your temper and you say, the Savior is here. You tell your addiction, the Savior is here. You tell your sin, you tell your shame, you tell your sorrows, the Savior is here. You look at your boss and you say, the Savior is here. You talk to your coworkers, your family and friends. You look at the person that you think would never come to church, and you wait for your moment, and you tell them, the Savior is here. Don't give up on them. God did not give up on you. Remember that. Remember that. He didn't give up on you. What would happen if you hesitate? Nothing. What could happen if you were bold? The lost could be found. The blind could receive their sight. The dead could come alive again. God could break the chains of addiction. He could free people from depression. He could restore broken relationships. He could answer prayers. He could change lives, because you have no idea what God could do through one act of boldness in one moment. You have no idea how powerful and how much that could echo. The message is very simple. The Savior is here. The Savior is here. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you that 2,000 years ago, people were bold enough to declare The Savior is here. Lord, I pray that every day of our life, every moment, we're looking for opportunities to declare your life can be different. You don't have to be stuck in sin and shame. You don't have to be far from God. You can know him. You don't have to have this gap between you and him. That gap can close. He did it for me. He can do it for you. Help us to be bold like that. In everyday life, in everyday moments, Lord, let us step into the extraordinary in what looks like ordinary. With every head bowed and every eye closed, if you're here today and you say, I want boldness like that. I want to declare to the world around me that the Savior is here. If you're the kind of person who says, I want to step into my moments, I don't want to miss them, I want boldness. If that's you, I want to pray for you. Slip your hand up right now. I want boldness. I see your hands. I see your hands. I want boldness. I'm not going to embarrass you. I'm not going to ask anything. I see your hand. Boldness. I see your hand. Boldness. I see your hand. Boldness. Lord, I pray in these moments our faith would rise, that we wouldn't shrink back, we wouldn't give up, we wouldn't surrender, but we would step into the moments you've given us, and you would use us to change the world around us. Don't let us be complacent. Let us be vibrant with our faith, sharing the good news with the world around us. With every head bowed and every eye closed, no one's looking around, just you and me. I have a suspicion that maybe some of you who are in this room, you need a Savior. You're in a place like I once was, where the things inside of me were so tumultuous that I couldn't think straight. The fears that I was far from God and I could never connect with Him. The thoughts that maybe God doesn't want anything to do with me because of things that I've done. Maybe you're like I was, where you have these things that you might call regrets, or some call them sins, and you feel like they unqualify you from a relationship with Christ. But I'm here to tell you that 2,000 years ago, the Savior was born, who brought good news for all people. You're all people. You're not disqualified. You were made in His image. You were called by name. You're written on His heart. And He wants a relationship with you. And so if you're here today and you say, I'm far from God, but I want to be close to Him. I want to know Him. If that's you, I want to pray for you. I want you to slip your hand up right now. I'm far from God, but I want to be close to Him. I want to follow Jesus. I see your hand in the back on my left. Anybody else? I want to follow Jesus. I want to give Him my life. One more moment. That's you. Just slip your hand up. Lord, we thank you for these holy moments that we can step into, where we can know you in the power of your love. I pray you would settle these things in our hearts and minds. Lord, I pray that these words of your truth would take hold and grow roots and grow deep in our lives. I pray these things you're doing in us, that you would do through us today. Help us to not miss our moments. In Jesus' name. If you're here today, there was someone today that raised their hand and said they wanted to follow Jesus. We're going to take a step with them. We do things together here. Faith is not done alone. It's not something that's private. It's very personal, but it's not private. It's something we do together. And so I want to encourage us, all of us, we're going to pray with this person who raised their hand. And if you would, just repeat after me. This isn't a magical prayer. This is a prayer just saying, I'm taking this step. I want to know God. I don't want to be far from Him. Let's pray it together. Heavenly Father, I admit that I am a sinner and that I'm lost without you. Forgive me of my sins. Wash me clean. Make me new. Help me to live for you. Every day. For the rest of my life. In Jesus' name. We all say, amen. Amen. Give God praise today. If you would, as we get ready to close out, if you would stand to your feet. If our prayer team, if you would go ahead and come to the front. Man, life can be tough. For some of you, Christmas is tough. It's hard. Don't do it alone. I know so often we pray prayers and we pray them alone. I'm telling you, there's power when we pray together. Prayer team, if you'd come, take the front right here. In the next few moments, we're going to sing Jesus at the Center one more time. I want you to sing out. God's worthy of glory and honor. The angels came singing. I want you to sing out. I want you to set the tone for what this next week's going to look like. This is going to be a week where we acknowledge who God is and what He's doing. And while we sing, if you have any prayer need, finances, health, marriage, relationships, work, whatever you have a need of, I welcome you. Come, let our prayer team pray with you. When people pray together, heaven comes. Lord, I pray in these next few moments that as you're glorified, that prayers would be answered, that lives would be changed. In Jesus' name, amen. Come forward if you need prayer.
Jesus.